Welcome to the Onion Project podcast, a podcast that brings the latest Onion research and development and marketing projects to light. Each episode, we'll talk with leading growers, consultants, and researchers out in the field on levy-funded research and marketing that is driving the Australian onion industry forward. This podcast is being brought to you by Hort Innovation, using onion industry levies and funds by the Australian government, and is hosted by Coxon Aldensu. Today, we'll be talking all about the levy-funded onion industry export strategy and how it's helping to guide the industry's export development investment decisions for the next 5 years. The recently completed Hort Innovation-funded onion industry export strategy project was led by strategic planning consultancy McKenna et al., providing the Australian onion industry with a strategic 5-year export plan for 2021-26. Today, we're joined by project lead, Dr. David McKenna, who is going to talk us through the new strategy and outline some key insights. Welcome to the show, David. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Meg.
No worries. And just to kick things off, can you give me a bit of background on McKenna and its role in the onion export strategy?
Okay, well, a bit of background on our company. We're an agri-food consultancy that's been around for over 30 years, and we specialise in strategy, particularly troubleshooting strategies, growth strategies for businesses, export strategies, etc. We work at all levels of the supply chain, from large corporations such as Simplot, McCain, Hines, General Mills, right through to family businesses, family corporates, industry associations and RDCs. We have done a lot of work in the export space. For example, we did the pioneering work to launch the Australian beef brand in Japan and Korea. We've also developed a lot of other export strategies in horticulture, including the highly successful vegetable strategy, which we completed recently, which is that we did that 5 years ago. We just refreshed it. That's sort of grown exports by about 40%. So we've had a lot of experience in the horticultural space.
Sounds that way. And to inform the strategy, David, your team did extensive market mapping. Can you run us through the process for this and how your market potential index was used?
Certainly, Meg. Well, historically, the trade in horticulture has been quite opportunistic. So, exporters will respond to an order. If the price is okay, then they'll do the deal. But they're not necessarily selling into the best markets or the most sustainable markets. So the purpose of the market mapping is to identify the prime prospect markets where you're likely to get the best price and the best loyalty and the best ongoing business. So to determine that, there's a sort of an old saying in marketing that you fish where the fish are. So the purpose of the market mapping is to find out where the fish are. So we have developed an algorithm that's quite sophisticated called the Market Potential Index. And that is an algorithm that's built around sort of three levels of information: the demographics, the size of the population, income levels, and so on, the quality of life, etc., the propensity to skew, which is, do they eat the product or do they eat a lot of the product? Are they high per capita consumers? Do they have a strong supermarket and food service trade? And the third one is Australia competitive in the market? But that only tells us that there's fish down there, but it doesn't necessarily tell us whether we're going to be able to catch them, because there's a whole lot of things could impact on that. So we then go to the next level. We identify the top 10 markets, and then we drill down and study them in depth, including the size of the market, the growth of the market, Australia's market share, the pricing, our key competitors, and where the seasonal windows are. And then that allows us to sort of make some prediction about where the opportunities are. And then we use that then to, we map those things on a matrix that tells us whether we should be, where the market access priorities are if we don't have market access. So it's a pretty powerful tool. We've just recently done that exercise for onions, and a bit of a context. The global trade in onions is highly volatile, largely because onions are sort of most countries that consume onions also produce onions, and so exports are really about filling gaps, either because they've had a poor season or because there's a seasonal window, and so. And so imports really fill those gaps and seasonal shortfalls. So it's a very volatile trade from year to year. they're largely sold on price, so they're a commodity, unlike something like a cherries or summer fruit, where it's a luxury item. Onions are a hidden product that are sold on price, and the export markets that we sort of export to, our prime prospects, is tend to be in the Asian, Middle Eastern region, and they're dominated by low-cost producers such as China, India, and Bangladesh that can produce onions for less than 20 cents a kilo, which is well below Australia's cost of production. So it's very difficult for Australia to compete head-to-head on price, and so we have to pursue markets that will pay a higher price based on our quality or our food safety record or our seasonal window. So we have to pursue high-end boutique supermarkets and high-end food service customers. And so that's sort of, we're really a niche market player compared with the other big players such as China and India. Our closest competitor in our seasonal window is New Zealand, and they have a similar quality to us, or some would argue even better, but I think that's arguable. And they're prepared to sell at a lower price, or either that or they have a lower cost of production. Because New Zealand doesn't have a domestic market, it really has to export, and so the growers there are prepared to accept a lower price. So they're selling at anywhere between 15 and 20% below us in the same seasonal window. So that's sort of a bit of an issue. In terms of exports, 95% of Australia's exports come out of Tasmania, WA and SA, South Australia. Tasmania alone has 55% of all Australian exports. There's about 10 major onion exporters, and they control about 95% of all trade. They also sometimes have contract growers that sort of provide them to get the volume. And a small amount of volume is going out of the market for consolidated players such as the wholesale markets going into Pacific Islands and resorts and so forth. So they're in consolidated shipments. So the Australia's exports as a percentage of production is in a long-term decline. So 10 years ago, about 20% of our production was exported. Last season, it was 12% and still going down. However, the latest figures that have come through since we've done the market mapping show that we've had a growth spurt this year, so it's probably a higher percentage. And part of the reason for that is that Australia has had a very good season. There's been a lot of onions grown. The domestic market prices are very soft, and people are much more prepared to export and prepared to export at a softer price. So historically, Australia's export markets have been in Europe. So historically, we had very large markets in Europe, to the point where Tasmania chartered ships into the European market to fill out their seasonal window. But that seasonal window has been steadily declining over the last decade, due to the fact that the onions, the storage of onions has become better, and so the gap is narrower, and also they've got better variety or new varieties that can grow in a longer season. So that's the sort of background to the story. In terms of markets, Europe is still our largest market, and that's about 35% of the market, but it is declining, although I think it's had a bit of a spurt since I've done this work. So, and for the reasons I mentioned earlier, the trade is shifting more into the Asian region. So at the point where Thailand is now the second biggest market, at 17% of our exports last year and growing it very strongly at 40% plus. Taiwan is 15% of the market, growing at 30% plus. And then you've got sort of stable markets like Malaysia, UAE and Singapore that are, they're sort of 8 and 7, 6% of the market, but they're reliable and higher price markets. There's also strong markets for larger red onions in places like Saudi Arabia and UAE and other markets. So the red onions command about a 20% premium over white onions. The average price of Australian exports is about 80, last year was about 80 cents or $800 a ton FOB or FCA. That means delivered to the port or delivered to the point of shipment. So that's the situation there. So it's a very complex story, but there is opportunity to grow our trade substantially.
And why is market development so important? What are some of the current challenges facing the Australian onion export market?
a part of the problem is that there's an oversupply in the domestic market and prices are very soft. So onions tend to be an opportunistic crop, and they're also widely used for in-crop rotation. So growers will put onions in between potatoes or broccoli or other things such as that because of the beneficial impact. So also, if the season looks good and the price, it looks strong, then people will grow a lot more, which is exactly what's happened in the past season. So, and that's the point where onions are sort of the domestic market is prices are low and sometimes below cost of production. So, but what we've found is that if you export, it takes the pressure off the domestic market, and that has a major impact on price. So, there's a sort of a belief in a bit of folklore, I guess, around markets, but I think it's pretty born to be pretty true over time, is that if you get a 10% oversupply in the market, then you get a 50% drop in price. So an extra B double on the Brisbane market, for example, could flood drop the price by as much as 50%. So that so taking relatively small volumes off the market can have a major impact on price. And so the point about that is that there's a really strong incentive for growers and for levy payers to sort of invest in exports, even if they're not exporting, because they get an indirect benefit from the domestic market lift. So even if we sold onions on the export market at cost or even below cost, the overall benefit to the industry would be much greater than if we didn't export at all.
And kind of on that then, David, how will the development and growth of the export market help to improve those domestic prices for Aussie onion growers?
Well, simply by just moving the volume. I mean, as I said before, if we can move more volume, it takes the pressure off and impacts on price.
And there were four key platforms outlined in the export strategy. Can you take us through these and how they aim to support long-term growth for the industry?
Certainly, Meg. Well, strategy is all about doing things that are going to make the biggest difference within your available resources. So this strategy is about how Hort Innovation and the onion industry should be investing their export levy and also potentially their marketing levy. So there's four platforms, and the first one is to enhance export market development resources. So the onion industry, compared with other industries, is underinvesting in export market development. And so the onion industry levy pool is relatively small compared with other industries, and that doesn't give it many resources to invest in export marketing. And as a consequence, the industry doesn't have strong export capability and experience. So we believe that the industry should be increasing the pool of money that's spent on exports by diverting part of the marketing levy for domestic market into exports. But the other thing too is we're suggesting that it would make sense for the onion industry to work with AusVeg, because AusVeg have a much bigger levy pool, and they have a very strong export and market development capability in-house. So they can regularly conducting trade shows, inbound missions and outbound missions, and building export capability. And unfortunately, since COVID, that's all had to go to virtual, but when that recovers, they've got that capability. But the other point too is that most of the onion growers also grow other vegetables, and they're familiar with that, and they participate in it anyway. So if the onion industry piggybacked into those events, they could have a major lift for a lesser benefit or a small benefit. The second thing is that we need to build our presence in growth markets. And one of the problems with onions is that, unlike other products such as cherries, where we export, where the exporter deals directly, for example, with a supermarket or a food service provider, most of the onion exports go through importers and intermediaries who then on sell to these people, because the supermarkets, etc., don't really want to be handling bulk commodities. So, and as a result of that, we don't have a good contacts with with the end customers. But the other point too is that because we're not visible in the market, people don't think about it as much. So it's important in the key thing about export market development is relationships, and particularly in Asian regions where they deal with people they trust and know and have built on-term relationships with. And the onion industry really doesn't have those relationships to the same level that they do in other industries. And so we're suggesting that there needs to be a lot more activity in terms of market visits, inbound missions, so where you're bringing buyers out to the farms and talking to you and things like that. The next one is next pillar is about informing planning, and a key part of that is to have good forecasting, so that the industry knows that what's coming up. So, because we're in the northern, we're dealing with a northern hemisphere situation, we get about half a season of advance warning about what the season is looking like. And if we know that prices are going to be soft and there's an oversupply around the world, then it's telling us that prices are going to be soft and that it's not a good thing to grow a lot of onions. On the other hand, if it looks like there's going to be a shortage, we should be sending signals to growers that they should plant more because the price looks to be good. So we're suggesting there needs to be an export forecasting, a crop forecasting system, like other industries have got, where they've got quite sophisticated forecasting. The other part about that is that because there's such a small number of exporters, and I believe our work shows there's about 10 that do most of the work, just getting those guys together once or twice a year to, talk about things, share information. So they're not really competing with each other. They're competing with other countries. And so it makes sense for them to share their information and so forth. The final one is to drive the quality advantage. So Australia does have a quality advantage, although arguably, we're about equal to New Zealand. So we have to push that. So quality is all about having unblemished onions, not too much discoloration, good keeping, shelf life, and so forth. So we need to keep driving that. And part of that is to really improve our cold chain, because the way onions are handled right from when they come off the harvester right through to when they reach the customer makes a big difference. There's a lot of technology now around cold chain management where you can actually understand the ideal temperatures for onions, the ideal humidity, and monitor that very closely and find out where there's breakdowns in the value chain. So, for example, you can have real-time data loggers that will send information to your mobile phone about the temperature of your containers. And so if there's a breakdown, you know where that's occurring and you know how to fix that next time. So we've got to keep driving that advantage, because we do have to sell at a substantial premium to other countries. And so having that quality edge is absolutely critical. So that's the strategy in a nutshell. And sitting below that are a lot more detail that people can read if they'd like to.
Well, it certainly sounds like you and the team have provided quite a robust roadmap for industry to look over and consider. So just to wrap things up, where can growers go to access the new strategy, David?
I believe that levy payers can get it through Hort Innovation, and probably Onions Australia would also have access. So those two points of contact would be the best place to go for it. But I encourage growers to read the report, even if they're not exporting, because it does give a lot of insight in the industry, and it's very important for all growers to understand the importance of exports.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for joining me today, David. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Bing. I appreciate your time.
That's it for today's episode. Listeners, keep an eye out for more information on the new export strategy in the 2021 Onions magazine. And if you missed anything or want to check out our other episodes, head to onionsaustralia.org.au/news/updates/podcast.